There Hannah is. Let's go back to Hannah. Laying on the altar. Eli, who would later be beheaded almost, would break his neck, fall backwards and break his neck. Significant that he broke his neck. Headship is gone. Headship is changing. Headship is changing. His daughter would hear about it and go into labor and have Ichabod, but he's still alive now. And he is sitting there near the steps where Hannah is laid out on the floor, and whatever her behavior was like, it was to the point that he thought she was drunk. And she said, no, I am not drunk. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, laying my request before God because I want this baby. I brought my pain and my passion to this altar, and it brought her to prayer. Pain and passion bring you to prayer. The funny thing about it, passion is painful. Unfulfilled passion is painful. So we've talked about being provoked. We've talked about pain. We've talked about passion. Let's talk about prayer. Eli told her, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And he got her to eat something, but he could not ease her pain nor fulfill her passion, because some things can only come from God. The Bible said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind. God says, the thing that brings peace to pain and passion is making your request made known unto God. That's prayer, baby. How's your prayer life lately? How is your prayer life lately? And I've already taught you that Elkanah and Hannah and Peninnah came up every year. And this was supposed to be like any other year, but prayer changed everything. All the other times they went in there, they made a little sacrifice, they made a little quick prayer, they went on out of there, and everything stayed like it was. But this was the year that changed the world. This is not just about her having a baby. It's about her birthing a promise. So prayer is how you birth a promise. But you can't just sit there in your house and pray. She had to go, she had to travel, she had to sacrifice, she had to endure. Her faith without works is dead, being alone. But ultimately, when she got through praying on that altar like a drunk woman, staggering around, moving her mouth, no audible sound coming out of her mouth, wailing in her spirit before God. When she got through doing it, I don't know how long she was down there. I don't know what kind of movements she made. I don't know whether she raised her hands or collapsed on the floor or did all of the above. Whatever she did, she looked like she was drunk. Eli had never seen anybody act like that in church before, except they were drunk. She said, no, I'm not drunk. I'm not a daughter of Belial. I'm not a daughter of this world. I'm not a secular woman. I'm not an idolatrous woman. She said, I'm a praying woman. When was the last time you prayed till you looked drunk? I know you got degrees. Drop your degrees and get down on your knees and pray and stagger around on the altar before God and ask God to do something about this world, because this is supposed to be the year that changes the world. We have never seen another year like this year. I know we had a pandemic 100 years ago. I know about the bubonic plague. I've read about all the other plagues, but we have never had a plague like this plague that we are having now. In the middle of an economic crisis, in the middle of racial conflict and shooting of innocent people in the street, All three things happening at the same time is a whole lot. That's a lot of travail. That's a lot of labor. That's a lot to take in. People are stressing out. People are having nervous breakdowns. People are getting angry. People who normally got it cool and together are flipping out. They stayed in the house for weeks and weeks and weeks. They came out to all of these scenes of killing and shooting and dead bodies stuffed up in 18-wheelers and funeral homes. Homes running out of space and police officers shooting people down, running down the street. Look, this is too much. This kind of multiplied sorrow is supposed to birth something. It's supposed to birth something. You can't have this much sorrow and not birth anything. Got me excited, got me shouting. Something is about to happen. Something is about to be birthed. The whole earth is groaning and travailing in pain. Something is about to happen. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I don't know whether Jesus is getting ready to crack the sky or whether every unfulfilled promise that God ever promised is about to come to pass in a flash, but whatever it is, the whole earth is groaning and travailing in pain. And according to Romans, it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting for you to come into who you are. For we know that the whole earth groaneth and travaileth in pain until now, waiting for the adoption to it, even the redemption of our body, for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole world is in labor, shut up in a room like Elizabeth. Doors closed. You don't see this birth? Hannah prayed till God made her a promise. By this time next year, everything is going to change. And she leaves there with the promise of God. Not just some in the sweet by and by. No, not that kind of promise. No. As soon as she got with Elkanah, the Bible said Elkanah knew his wife. They went in that bedroom. They shut the door. They turned on some Luther. And when she came out of that room, she could tell she was pregnant. That pregnancy, which was the promise of God. I'm talking about the promise of God. I'm not even worried about it birthing it yet. The promise of God was in her womb right then. That was the year that changed the world. That was the year that turned everything around. Had she not gotten pregnant with Samuel, there would be no King Saul. There would be no King David. If there were no King David, there would be no King Jesus. This was the year that changed the world. No wonder her pain was so intense. No wonder her passion was so undeniable. No wonder she had to be provoked like she did. She was about to birth the man that anointed the man to whom Jesus would come. And it started in a little town out of town, around the bend and over the creek bed. This pregnant woman walking around saying, "Ooh, I felt him kick." God is going to give you something that you're going to feel kick on the inside. Oh, hallelujah. A promise. A pregnancy. A pregnancy. Pregnant with something that the world hasn't seen, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for them that love him. But it has been revealed unto us by his Spirit. In the middle of all of this craziness, I want you to understand you are pregnant. We're about to birth something through much travail. The Bible said when Zion travails, sons and daughters shall be born. You're not going to tell me that God is going to disrupt the whole world, every tongue, every language, every nation, every country, and nothing? Something is about to happen. Now, the world can't see the pregnancy for the pain, but you're a believer. And as a believer, you have to understand that we are in the delivery room. We see the midwives, the pain and the passion. We see the chaos and the confusion. We see all the shaking up of government powers. We see nations all over the world marching in the street. We have to be spiritual enough to know that this is bigger than anything that we're talking about. There's a pregnancy. There's going to be a delivery. And she births a promise from God. The Lord told me the first of the year, this is going to be the year of double portion. I'm holding on to that. I don't care what we do. I don't care where we go. I don't care what happens. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how tumultuous it gets. Something, God is going to set in motion something this year. This is going to be the year that changes the world. And you can see it. You can see it in the streets. You can see it in the town. If Dr. King came back today and saw the whole world walking around marching in the street, black folks and brown folks and white folks and rich folks and poor folks and all types of people marching in the street, he would be amazed. This is not the 60s over again. This is something else. I was in the 60s. I remember what it was like. This is not that. This is something else. We have never seen anything like this before. Something is about to happen. Get your Bible and your newspaper and lay them down side by side. Things are changing. This is going to be the year that changes the world. What's the change will be? I don't know all of it. But I know this is not like any other time we've gone to the temple before. And I know that Hannah is tumbling around in the temple like she's drunk, and I've never seen it like this before. And I know that when Elkanah and her got in that tent, he had never seen it like that before. And all of a sudden, Hannah started gaining weight and her ankle started swelling and she started throwing up, and she had never done that before. And she pushed out a Samuel, a little baby, a little boy that she held on to long enough to wean. And then she brings him to the temple with her bullocks and her goats and her offering, and she offers sacrifice to God, and she kept her vow to the Lord that if you give it to me, I will give him back to you. We don't keep our vows. Lord, if you just get me out of this. Lord, if you just do this for me. Lord, if you give me this job. Lord, if I get this contract. We don't keep our vow. Hannah kept her vow. She brought her baby, y'all. Who gives their baby? You always talk about Abraham offering up his son. Before Abraham ever existed, it was a woman who gave her son and brought him to the temple. What woman you know who wanted a baby all her life takes her living baby in her arms and some bullocks and goats, her offering, and brings it up to the temple before God and gives all of it to God, the bullock, the goat, and the baby? You say, well, why did she wait all that time to have a baby and then turn around and give it to God? Because he opened up her womb. And she started giving birth after that again and again and again, because if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, everything else should be added unto you. And her baby named Samuel was just the beginning. Samuel would change the temple she brought him to. He would be the first prophet to come and speak a voice into the midst of a priesthood that was dysfunctional. He would be the one and the catalyst through which they would defeat the Philistines. He would be the one that anointed the first king of Israel. He would be the one who judged that king later. He would be the one who anointed David to be the king of Israel. David sitting on the throne of Israel is a picture of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ. All of that is built around this one woman. This year changed the world. She had been coming to the temple for years, but there had never been a year like this year. And so when she brought her bullocks and her goat and her baby, it wasn't just to thank God for what he had done. She had the sense to know that she was sowing a seed against what God was about to do. I'm going to close this class. We could go on and on. I didn't even exhaust my scriptures. I was going to take you to Revelation 12, 9 through 13 and show you some more about another pregnant woman who the dragon stood up and roared up against. I won't even go into it and how no matter what the dragon did, he could not stop the woman from having her baby. I don't care how the dragons rise and how many heads they got. What is in you will still come to pass. And whatever that thing is in you, it might look like a small thing, it might look insignificant, but it's going to have major consequences. And God is shaking the world to set the conditions right, to set things in order, so that when you give birth to this promise, nobody's going to rob it, nobody's going to violate it, nobody's going to shoot it in the back, nobody's going to destroy it. He's opening up the womb of your creativity to deliver something in your lifetime that changes the world. Hannah brought her bullock and her goat and her baby, and she gave it all over to the Lord. And in return, he opened up her womb, and she conceived, and she was blessed, and she waxed strong, and she grew great. That's what she got. The world got David. The world got Jesus. The world got the whole rest of the Bible because this one year of all the other years that she had gone to the temple, this was the year that changed the world. That's what this story is about. They went from judges to kings. They went from priests to prophets. They started getting prophecies about the Messiah coming that could not be prophesied until Hannah had this baby. And she stayed home and missed the temple. Had she not laid out on the altar and cried, it would have been just like any other year. But her prayer and her consecration and her sowing changed the world. As I close today, we stand on the precipice of a day unlike any I have ever seen before. And it's messy and it's bloody and it's tumultuous and it's upsetting and it's disturbing. And it goes on and on and on and on, and the bickering and the murmuring and the complaining and the Hophni and the Phinehas and the Eli and all of it, Peninnah standing back behind the door giggling and people getting on your nerves and nooses being hung everywhere and chaos like something I've never seen on this level before. And everybody's marching in Europe, in Africa. They're marching in Canada. They're marching. It isn't just California to New York. Everybody's marching. This year means something. 2020 means something.